Good evening. Can y'all hear me? All right. Well, you know, the word says to be instant in season and instant out of season. So I told Brother Stephen a long time ago that if I could help him as far as standing in for him, just give me a call. Well, I got a call. So, you know, the Lord's good. He gives you the ability to prepare for whatever you're going to do in advance. You know, he'll work with you, give you strength, give you confidence, give you courage. But through his providence, he can cause things to make everything come out well. Like my brother James over here says, blessings. He's the time today. He gave me a word, and I've been blessed in the last couple of weeks to renew a relationship with an author that Malcolm Ellis quotes quite often. You may have heard him talk about A.W. Tozer, a gentleman that served the Lord as writing just in magazines, in journals, and all kind of things. And one thing that his message was that we as believers, Christians, are prepared by God to be able to have relationship with him. Sometimes Christian men and women struggle their whole life trying to figure out, how do I live the Christian life? The truth is that without having a relationship with Jesus, we can call him Savior and we can call him Lord. But if we live our life then doing the best we can, trying to walk that walk, to talk the talk, and do the Christian things without drawing on the strength that the Lord will give us each day through relationship with him. And we find that instead of walking with the Lord, our walk, we're basically walking in the flesh trying to do spiritual things. A.W. Tozer wrote many, many books about that. And if you want to get a good read, A.W. Tozer would be a good one to read. Now, I'm not going to go any further about that, except there are people that can lead you through books and things, but the book that we hold as the truth coming from God is the Word of God, the Bible. Tonight we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Before I start, y'all allow me to pray. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we're together, Lord. We thank you for each person that's here tonight, Lord. And thank you for the opportunity we have to open the Word of God, Lord, to have another opportunity to see what you have for us out of your precious Word, Lord. And we pray that you'll bless the reading of the Word, Lord, and bless it to our hearts, that, Lord, through that you'll make changes, Lord, to draw us even closer to you. Lord, that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, this is a verse here, verse 9, that for a long time I didn't understand what the verse meant. If you read it in a certain way, you can say the things that eye has not seen, right, or ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. We don't know what heaven's going to be like. Someday we'll be there. We'll be in the presence of the Lord. And some have taken this to mean that, heard sermons probably about that being a foretelling of the splendor of heaven. We know that's going to be the case from looking at the Bible. We can't imagine what it's going to be. But if we look at this in context and see what he's talking about through these verses, he's talking about the fact that the spiritual truth of the Word of God is something that our eyes, we can't look at things in our flesh and get spiritual truth from that. The things that we hear, if it's not spiritually true, we can't get truth from that in the flesh. You can set a man or a woman on a pew that are saved, and they have, through the Holy Spirit, have the power to receive the Word of God, and they can hear it, and they can be blessed, and they can walk out feet not touching the floor because God has blessed them so much. But the same person hearing the same words can't hear it, right? But it's going right through because it doesn't register on his brain. There's a process here going in that causes two people. It could be a man and his wife, a brother and a sister, bloodlines, anything, that doesn't matter. It's two individuals, a man or a woman. It could be a child and an adult. If the child knows Jesus, that all these things. What is that? What is that that causes that difference? It's an eternal difference between two people. You can look at someone and you can't tell by looking on the outside. The flesh is not the judge of that. We know that God is the discerner of the intents of our heart, and God knows us better than we know ourselves. But in this verse here, it gives us a lot to think about as we continue in this passage. Nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. M-A-N. And it's not talking about a man that is a spiritual man. It's talking about a normal flesh man. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now we're going to start in verse 10 and look at these verses and pull them apart and see what God's trying to tell us. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And God hath revealed them, what? That is the truth of Scripture. He has revealed them to us through the Bible. You can get any book. Go down to Lifeway, and a lot of people will go and spend a lot of money on good Christian books. Nothing wrong with that. But if we want to get something that has the power of God behind it, it's the Word. And then you look for, is the book that we buy just a regular book? This is the A.W. Tozer book. But after you read it, you need to always go back to the truth, to the Word of God, to make sure it lines up with that. Many great authors that make a lot of money selling books, and sometimes if we try to apply that theology to our life and to our heart, we find ourselves making a mistake because it might not line up exactly with what God wants us to do. We take off on tangents, always chasing down, trying to find the latest book, when this book has been around for 2,000 years, you know, and it's good enough for Jesus. It's good enough for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's continue with it. For what man? I'm sorry, back up again. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Unto us. Now this is Paul writing this, and he said these things are revealed unto us. Who are these? Who would be the us that he's talking about there? Now I took it here, and I didn't look beyond what the verse here said. By his Spirit, it would be people that could read the Bible through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and know what it's talking about. Paul is talking to Christian men and women 2,000 years ago, and he's talking about Jesus to them. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, revealed unto us by his Spirit. Now here's where the connect comes in. If it's revealed to us by the Spirit, let's go through the sequence of events. Adam and Eve in the garden were created by God. In Genesis chapter 2, I think it's verse 9, it says that God breathed life into them. When he did that, you know, I've always imagined this. You know, he formed them out of the dust of the ground, out of the clay, formed them. Now, this is God. He can do things in a way that we can't put words to it. But if we look at it formed out of the ground, you might be able to, and I'm not trying to do anything that's irreverent, but you might see that God would, this was a special work the crowning act of creation. He had just created the earth and the skies and the heavens, and he's going to create a person to walk on this planet. And he got down on his knees, perhaps, and formed a man out of the clay of the ground. And when he finished, he lifted him up, and he breathed the breath of life into him. And at that moment when he did that, a most awesome thing happened, is that the Spirit of God was breathed into this man. And all of us here today have that legacy of what God did there. A.W. Tozer says this, and it says what the Scripture says, that inside the heart, inside, deep within inside of every person, lost or saved, there is a place that God put in us. We could call it a sacred place, a holy place. It's a place that when he breathed life into Adam, that the Spirit of God came to rest in that place. Tozer calls it an inner sanctum. It's a place where God resides in our life. God the Spirit, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three eternal, living inside Adam. He was able to walk in fellowship with God because he had the living Spirit living in his heart, the triune God living within him from the breath that was given to him by God. Then man fell. Sin in the garden, they fell. And that place is there. It is there in the lives of all people still today. God creators, it's there. But Jesus had to die on the cross to restore our fellowship with God. The triune God, because of sin, Jesus, as part of the Godhead, the Son of God, existent from eternity past, was not there. He, because of the sin in mankind, Jesus was quenched, removed, however we want to say it. We were in a position where we were lost, and there was nothing we could do about it. We needed a Savior, and Jesus came. And when he came, through faith in him, it restores that relationship we have with God through his Son, Jesus. It made us complete. It made us whole again. Now this is describing in the words of man what God, the unfathomable work of God. But that is it not true, though, that without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood he shed for us, that we are separated from God without recourse. Nothing we can do about it. But when that moment comes that through the calling and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we get saved, and through faith we accept him as our Lord and our Savior. Life changes. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget, in the words of a song that we've probably sung a lot of times here. That's when you're made whole again and you're able to enter into the joy of the Lord. This is so when we're talking about us, that's what we're talking about. People that were separated and Christ came, and these people were blessed to be the generation of people that were there. And this letter is to them by us. And they were willing to go through many trials of life in order to do the things that the Lord had told them and wanted them to do. For the Spirit, and this is how they... let me back up a little bit. It's revealed to him, to who? To us, by his Spirit. But these men that are and women that receive this, the secret, the truths of Scripture, able to listen to the Word, able to read it, were the ones that revealed. It was revealed to them. The truth was revealed to prepared men and women, prepared by salvation. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? That's, it seems like, y'all probably can judge by looking at me, I'm a little bit nervous, not as nervous as I was last time. But You can't look at someone and make any determination about what's going on inside. The spirit of man, the spirit of man, is on the inside, and it's something that no one else can judge. If we read verse 11 a little bit closer, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's an enabling that the Lord gave us to where he can fellowship with us again in relationship. Sometimes in the rush of, modern life, I think some of us here can remember when it wasn't a rush here in Decker Prairie or Magnolia or Tomball. It seemed like everything is going in high speed now, and we can't keep up with it. It seems like we, the events that are happening around us, it's like we're a generation of people that are getting smaller. We're being separated from the action of the society around us, and it's sort of a time where we're reaching out. We're looking for things that we can hold on to. One thing we really need to grasp is what the Lord wants from us. He wants to talk to us, to fellowship with us in prayer, and to be men and women that have a relationship. Remember in the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I know that some people will read that and consider that doing a work of worship. It's good to remind you here, but how long has it been since we aligned our heart with the Lord and from in a relationship sense? My Father which art in heaven. Is there something going on in your life now where you need to talk to God? In relationship, it's much deeper than finding a scripture that I agree with that. I give a mental agreement to that sense, to that scripture, which is good. Hey, we can see God at work in our intellect, but in our turning that into something where it's a relationship thing. Many of us here have gone through trials in our life to where when these hard times come, the Word of God is precious. It's there for you. But after you read it, you understand that there's a God in heaven behind the promises, and he is there for you. In relationship, we can hang on to him. Remember old Kyle, his favorite song. Trying to think of the first word. My goodness. The sails are tattered. Thank you. What's the anchor of our life, brothers and sisters in Christ? It's him. It's relationship. Why? Because, hey, his sails were torn. He wasn't able to go further. He was floating in the water. The anchor holds when the storm is tattered. He's the anchor of life in relationship. And it seems like a lot of things are taking the place of that understanding that the thing that really will anchor our life and give us a purpose is a relationship with the Holy God. It makes the Word of God jump off the page at you when you say, oh, that's what God did in my life 2 years ago when I was going through that. That's what God did with me when I lost my loved one. And the precious promises of God. Remember, we got a homework assignment a few weeks ago. What did Brother Stephen say? How many of y'all got some promises? Okay. That's a good thing, because the promises are these things that we know that God has said that he's going to do. It's a promise from God. It may be something that is not real in your life now, but when he says that, I know the promise that I didn't say anything about that night. It's in the New Testament, red letter, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Right? And they follow me. And they follow me. Isn't that a good promise? And no man can take them out of my Father's hand, because they're my sheep. Now that's an assurance of what? Of salvation. And that's a promise from God. And all of these things, when we look at them, hey, that's an anchor that we can hold on into our life when we feel like our things are getting tattered some. In verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So he loved us so much that he breathed life into us that day when he created us, and when we fell in sin and we were separated from God without a recourse. Bible says, God said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us." His Son Jesus. Existing before eternity, Jesus, his Son, came as a man and shed his blood on a cross for us, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It comes, you know, when we see that the accepting of Jesus, that place in our life that was empty, is now it is complete again, because Jesus is there in our life. No man can jerk you out of the hand of God, or no man can pluck you out of the hand of God. However you want to do it, nobody can do that. We're firmly saved. But you know, one thing that can happen in our life is that the joy of the Lord can drift away from us when we lose relationship, when we forget who we are in Christ. We can quench, we can grieve the Spirit of God. So this walk we have continues to be a relationship. Remember when Jesus walked down the road of Emmaus after he was crucified? They walked with him for a long time, and they didn't really know who he was until they set to eat. I believe I have that right. And then it came to them that was the Son of God. That was Jesus. You know, sometimes maybe we get into a routine and we forget who we are, and it's not as fresh. And I'm talking to myself too. Where we get into a position to where we may sometimes forget who we are as believers. This is a busy world, and it is full of just things that sometimes make it hard to navigate through it all. But he's there for us. Praise the Lord. There's in John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24. Jesus here is talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And he says to her in verse 23, let's back up 22. "Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And the those verses there in John, he was talking to a Samaritan woman at the well in the heat of the day. Remember the scenario of it. Jesus came in. It was hot, and they had been walking, you know, the Son of God walking wherever he went. And it was hot. The disciples went in town, so he sat by the well, Jacob's well. He sat on the well. And there was nobody there because of the heat of the day. And here come a woman to the well. And she was a woman that had a lot of problems in her life. May not have had a very good reputation in the town, so she went to get her water when there wouldn't be any of the other women there, perhaps. Maybe that was the reason. Anyway, she came to the well. And Jesus saw her, and he talked to her. And she received, as you remember, if you want to read that later, she received what Jesus had to say. The thing that struck her most of all was Jesus knew, she said, he knew her situation. He said, you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now, you're not married to. And she goes, well, how could he know that? So I said, this is Jesus here. This is the Son of God. This is who he said he was. So she ran to town, and when she got there, she went and told, the Bible says, the men. She told the men. Probably the women didn't want to receive it, but she told the men, come see Jesus. And that was, remember Nicodemus, when he came to see Jesus, he came at night. He was really one of the leading figures in the church, a Pharisee. And he came at night, and when Jesus told him all the precious truths of the Bible, he didn't receive them. He didn't understand it. You know, and remember when he said, "Can a man be born again?" But sometimes the lady at the well received quickly. You know, so in relationship building with to help people in relationship with us and to have relationships perhaps with the Lord or something like that to do a ministry work in our life, because hey, if we know Jesus and we're not sharing him with our family and those that we love outside the church, those that we lift up and pray for inside the church, doing the work of the ministry. That's what we need to be about. And it all comes from this one simple thing, because relationship gives you with the living God gives you the power, the desire, and the ability to do the things that God wants you to do. He'll freshen your heart in the Word and bring those verses to memory that you can't remember. And it's an awesome time. It's a great time to be a Christian. You know, at first the fields are white unto harvest. Man, I tell you what, flying down this road out here with Renaissance, Karen telling me Renaissance is coming pretty soon. And what is happening? I mean, if the fields aren't white unto harvest, the only thing that would prevent a harvest would be the lack of an effort by the church people to get out there and do something to bring them, because we have what? We have the power of God within us to do that. Amen. I've discovered something I'm through. I don't know how to end things very well, because I'm not a preacher. I never went to preacher school. But one thing that, hey, we're all on the same page here. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody is going to stand up in this pulpit. If I wasn't here, Brother Bill, somebody could come up here and preach the Word of God. Because remember, what was that? The donkey. The guy riding the donkey, supposedly steering the donkey, right? Well, he kept going, and he knew he wasn't supposed to go. The donkey knew that, hey, there's an angel there with a sword. We got to stop. And the donkey spoke, right? So if a donkey can do that, right, I guess I've heard that before, you know, sometimes, but the truth is. But anyway, isn't it good? Isn't it good that God is so good to us?
Amen.
Just remember that one thing. And this is what blew me away with what A.W. Tozer said. When you have the spirit of man within you, and it is complete through faith in Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God comes into you, and he talks to you. The Spirit of God talks to you, amen? When you pray, when you get alone with him, like the preacher said, got alone, when Jacob got alone with Jesus, man, his life changed. You get alone with God, and he speaks to you. And you have the spirit of man within you here, and here comes the Spirit of God coming to the spirit of man, and he does that work to your spirit, because you don't know the spirit of man is who you are. Until the spirit of man works on you, you're not going to change yourself. Spiritual truth only comes through relationship with God. And it's an awesome thing to consider that. Anything else tonight? I don't know how to stop on, but we will pray, because that is what brings the hand of God at work in our congregation. Does anybody have anything to add tonight? Okay.